Welcome back, Point of Perspective Podcast. Trying to get one more episode in before the end of the week. And I have been so blessed to have someone on the line who is no stranger, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Evening. Hello, Point of Perspective. Hello, listeners. This is Janae, and I am back for another episode per request.
Yes.
So he must like what I have to say.
Me and the listening audience, definitely. Definitely. Oh, man. How's your week been so far?
Oh, this has been a long week. Wow. Not a bad week, just a long week.
Okay.
So I am excited for the weekend to get here.
Yes. You didn't get rained in with all that rain in the past week or so, did you?
Not too bad. Could have been worse. But trust me, when the sun came out, I was so grateful because it seems like it has rained the entire February. So yeah. When the sun came out for the couple of days, hopefully, you know, they say that it's supposed to be cooler this weekend, but it's going to be sunny. So we just going to keep our fingers crossed that, these new weather people, you know, it's not the same since Bill Walsh is gone, you know. So we going to hope that these meteorologists now are, you know, on target with this weather.
Yeah, well, you know, I think being a weather person and a politician is the two jobs or professions where you can have built-in lies and into it. So I'm gonna just leave that right there. I'm gonna just get right into it. How do I say this? The special powers that be for Texas and I believe Mississippi. They said that they lifted all restrictions on the states that as far as the pandemic is concerned. Masks, social distancing, businesses back to full operation, the whole nine yards. You think that's a good move or a bad move?
I think that is a bad move because we are not out of the woods yet with this virus. You know, we have the vaccine. We have, the different, you know, I'm not sure, don't quote me, but I think Johnson & Johnson just came out with a one dose vaccine. Just because the vaccine is there, we have to realize the vaccine is just there to protect us. And I'm not a doctor. I have no medical background.
What? You're not a doctor?
I watch a lot of Forensic Files and First 48 and Grey's Anatomy, but I'm not a doctor. So this is just me talking what I know just from reading. But vaccines just protect us from if we come into contact with whatever virus it is. It's not a invincibility shield and, oh, the coronavirus is going to bounce off of us. We're not going to get it. You can still come into contact with coronavirus and catch COVID and still spread it. The vaccine just lessens its effect on you. So why you would, even with the vaccine, why would you lift the mask mandate when, you know, science has proven that even though some are skeptical, the masks do work. So why would you... We are not even in the clear yet. I don't understand why they think that's a smart move. But of course, you know, that's giving false hope to, you know, as smart as, you know, we would like to think we are. The minute you lift those mandates, people are going to think, oh, it's safe again. And it's not. Mm-hmm. So they're going to figure, okay, well, these people are higher up. They make the rules. So they're telling us, okay, no masks, you can congregate. They're going to think it's okay. People are going to do it. Hell, people were doing all of this stuff with all these mandates in place. So now I feel like it's just going to be a free-for-all. And we just going to have to pray that just because they are lifting these mandates, the people are going to have enough sense to say, okay, well, let me just, you know, still do what I was doing to protect myself. But at this point, you know, I don't know. But definitely that's not a smart move at all.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and just really to reemphasize what you were saying, the whole thing with the mask, if we just go to like the most simplest way of looking at it, let's say somebody has to cough, right? You in the store, somebody has to cough, whether it's you or somebody else. If you got that mask on and you cough, those droplets are just going to hit that mask, you know, and not get exposed into the air or, you know, something to that nature. If you have to sneeze and the droplets kind of shoot out, you know, 6 feet or however many feet, you know, it goes out into the, and so just think of it as a thing as, you know, you are protecting yourself and protecting other people in case you do have to cough or sneeze. And, you know, you may be asymptomatic if, you know, if you do have the COVID virus. And, you know, just like you said, scientifically, it does cut it down. You know, there's not 100% in this, but if we can definitely cut the percentage down, I think that's what we want to aim for. But, you know, out there in Texas, man, they just kind of play by their own rules. I mean, you know, they just kind of play by their own rules. So, I mean, and it's the kind of thing each state has its own power in a sense. Unless, you know, the president issues, you know, I can't think of the term or the word I want to use, but if they mandate it from, you know, the Capitol, like, hey, everything is shut down, you know, or, you know, everything has to be this way until we lift it. State of emergency, I guess, if that's the right term. Any of my political science majors, feel free to email or write in and tell me what's the correct term for that. Executive order on stuff like that. But I think that's where you got to look at it. You got to look at it as, okay, I got the mask on in case I have to sneeze or cough or something. I'm not putting this out into the atmosphere. You know, it's not getting completely airborne here, but, you know, obviously in Texas, it's going to be airborne because they have lifted the mask mandate. And I want to say, Texas is the top three states that, you know, the cases are very high, and, you know, that could be,
we're the hot spot.
Yeah, I mean, and that could be the populace, you know, so many people compared to a smaller state, but still, I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, you know, I think if you wanted to lift restrictions as far as business hours and stuff like that, or, you know, the pushing things back to full capacity, do that, but keep the mask mandate, you know.
I agree.
In public places, because on one side, I do want businesses to start generating revenue for business owners, for workers, and the economy. But on the other side, I'm like, okay, there's a way to do that, and the way to do that is keep the mask mandate. You know, go to serving drinks until 1 or 2 or whatever it is in your county, state, or city or whatever. But, you know, keep the mask mandate going. But, you know, I guess they said, screw it, we're going to get rid of everything. So, I don't know.
Right, we're just going to go with it. I don't know. I don't understand. I feel like, you know, you have those folks who don't want to be told what to do. So being mandated to wear the mask, it was like, oh my gosh, there was an uproar. But at the same time, if you telling me what to do or you suggesting what I need to do, and the downside to that is if I don't listen, I could die. I think I'm going to listen to what you're telling me or what you're suggesting that I do. I don't know. I often wonder when this is going to be over, if it's ever going to be over. And I feel like I'm one of those people who, even, you know, when it dies down, I'll still probably wear my mask or at least have it close by to where if I need it, because I'm still going to be paranoid about, you know, what's floating around in the air. And it's crazy because, you know, this time last year, well, not even this time last year. Yeah, this time last year when everything, you know, first popped off, you know, we didn't know what to do. And we were like, wear a mask? You know, I don't even own a mask. Like, what are y'all talking about? But if you think about, you know, February of last year, we were just walking around free. We, not a care in the world. And then March hit, and they're like, boom, you know, you got to start wearing masks. There's a virus going around. Are we looking like, what? Like, I don't know if you are familiar with this book. I want to say we read it for summer reading in middle school. And it was called Andromeda Strain. Do you recall that book?
I did not read that book, but I did watch something on YouTube on it. So I do have an idea what you're talking about.
So if I'm not mistaken, okay, so I just went on Wikipedia real fast. So it says, Andromeda Strain is a 1969 techno-thriller novel by Michael Crichton, his first novel under his own name and his sixth novel overall. It is written as a report documenting the efforts of a team of scientists investigating the outbreak of a deadly extraterrestrial microorganism in Arizona. So immediately, when all this stuff broke out last year, I immediately thought about this book. Mind you now, this was summer reading in middle school. So to say that I am, let me age myself a little bit, but to say that I am 32 and I, you know, am remembering a book from middle school. I don't know if, you know, my memory is kind of like an elephant, but I immediately thought about this book. And I was, you know, it puzzled me because I was like, you know, it's crazy how, you know, we read these things and we watch these things and they happen and they play out in real life. And we, and you know, some, you know, fiction is based off of nonfiction. It's always a little bit of truth in it. So it's almost like, dang, it's like this book is coming to life right in front of us. Now they're trying to scramble to figure out what is it, everybody dying from, everybody breathing in. So, you know, I honestly, even when this is over, if ever it is over, I'm probably still going to have a mask just because I'm going to be one of those paranoid people that, you know, you just don't know. And that's not to say that I'm not going to hang out or go out or, you know, participate in, you know, group activities or whatever. But, I mean, I'm still going to have that thought in the back of my mind, like, you know, trying to err on the side of caution, like, hey, you know, the same way we weren't expecting this thing to pop out last year, who's to say it ain't going to pop up again? So, I don't know. It's crazy. I just know I would rather be safe than sorry. And for them to just, you know, I feel like even while people are out here congregating in Texas and all these other places, the people at the top who make these rules, they're going to be sitting back in their recliners watching our, for lack of a better word, dumbasses go out there. Mm-hmm. And frolic, and they're gonna be watching us while they're secluding themselves. They're gonna be watching us act a fool and getting sick again, and you know it's not gonna bother them because it's not bothering them clearly.
You know, it's crazy. You brought up that book, and I'm about to go down that conspiracy rabbit hole. If you think about it, a lot of movies and shows since, you know, growing up, you know, whether it's about zombies, a outbreak type of movie, books, it's almost in a way that we have been preconditioned for what's going on now. You know, and if you look back at this stuff, you know, Hollywood makes these movies, but just like you said, now these movies are starting to mirror what's going on right now, you know, and now the virus is mutating and there's different strands of it, and you know, it's just one of those things where like I'm sure I've seen this in a movie about three times already in my lifetime. You know, and it just, you know, I mean, it's crazy, but I hate to say it, but I think this is only the beginning. So I do agree with you that the, you know, just wearing a mask might become a way of life when you're like out in very condensed, you know, public places like a fair or, you know, a concert or something like that. You know, that just might be a way of life, you know, just because of being so close to people. I mean, on a side note, but still on topic. I couldn't stand when I would be in the movie theater and somebody would be coughing behind me and in the seat above me. That used to drive me crazy. like you can tell like they didn't have their hand over their mouth or something. I was just like, oh, just please don't turn around and slap this person, you know. But it's just, I think it's a way of life now, with, you know, the mask and certain high capacity situations. So I do agree with you. It's, you know, you're just better off having it, you know, on hand and in case something happens, or you go into a store and everybody's coughing or something. You know, so it's just crazy. The stimulus package that they finally approve, I believe it's 1.9 trillion. I guess the most important part of it for me is the restrictions that they are putting on who's getting the $1,400. So if you are making $80,000 or more, you're not going to get it. If your combined household is making $160,000, you're not going to get it. I think that's going to hurt people, rather, you know, people who are making 80 grand or more. I still think, you know, that's still going to hurt, because if you really go through the stimulus package, they're giving $1 million away to things outside of the country. And, but yet they're putting restrictions on who can get the money right here in the U.S. So, you think that's going to hurt or help overall, them putting those kind of restrictions on who's getting the money?
I'm just wondering what data they are using to base this $160,000 a year for the, you know, the cap, the wage cap, the gross amount. Like, what are they basing this off of? Are they basing this off of, you know, definitely can't be 2020 wages, because, I mean, with everything being shut down, I'm curious, you know, to those who were out of work, if that's what they usually make a year as a family, and, you know, $80,000 a year, you know, were they even able to make that in 2020? So is this based off of 2019 data? I'm wondering. My guess is, if you as a family are making $160,000 a year, and as an individual, if you're making $80,000 a year, I mean, you ain't hurting, because the average person is making, you know, between $30,000 and $60,000, and $60,000 is on the high end, depending on, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess if you want to use the term blue collar.
Yeah.
You know, that's between $30,000 and $60,000 a year. So if you're making by yourself, if you're making $80,000 a year, I need to find out what you're doing so I can get on that, first of all. Second of all, if you're as a family, if you're bringing in $160,000 a year, I need to find out what both of y'all are doing so I can get on that train. But I mean, I even with those numbers, that still doesn't provide a realistic picture of what is currently going on, what is their current economic state, because 2020 hit a lot of people hard.
And yeah, it did.
I'm sure what they were used to bringing home, you know, they weren't bringing that home in 2020. So, but I mean, that's not to take away from, you know, the people who, you know, the 20s, the 30s, the 40,000 a year, like, you know, I mean, you really can't say who needs it and who don't need it, because 2020 hit everybody hard. So I feel like, I'm just curious as to what numbers they're using to get that data. And, you know, I mean, how do you really single people out without singling out those who really need it? Like, okay, so if someone was getting unemployment, I see where it says if you are unemployed, the Senate and House bills contain the same provisions for the unemployed. Out-of-work Americans would get a federal weekly boost of $400 through August 29th. Those enrolled in two key pandemic unemployment programs could also continue receiving benefits until that date. So the people who are getting unemployment, I'm wondering, are they still going to be able to get, are they getting that stimulus, or are they just getting their unemployment? Like, you know, it doesn't really say if they're going to get both. It's just saying if you're getting unemployment, you're still going to get it. So do they still get the stimulus also? So are you going to single out the people who aren't working versus off? Like, I'm just, I mean, as much as we pay in taxes, the government shouldn't be singling nobody out. Just run everybody their check. Like Oprah, you get a check, yes. You get a check, you get a check, all y'all get a check. Just give us our money. You know, just go ahead, give it to us. We pay taxes. We work hard. Come on.
I encourage anyone listening to this to actually look at the breakdown of that stimulus bill. I'm not going to break it down right now, but just look at where a lot of money is going, and just like with anything else, if you want the real answers, follow the money. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. That's for another episode. But if you want to start finding out what's really going on out there, follow the money trail. And like I said, you know, we giving a lot of money to a lot of different entities that don't have nothing to do with this pandemic. So like I said, you get a chance, you know, look up that stimulus package and follow all the, you know, all the money handouts that are going. Switching gears, I did episode 50 on T.I. and his wife Tiny, and the whole, you know, the whole women being forced into very, very compromising situations thing, accusations that's going on with him. I'ma just turn it over to you, and you know, you tell me from a woman's perspective. What do you think is going on? We're going by the story, but I mean, just in your opinion, like, how do you feel about what's going on with T.I. and Tiny?
Before I state my piece for those, because I hadn't had a chance to listen to that episode. So okay. For those who are listening now and have not listened to that episode, or who may not be aware of what's going on, just if you could just give a brief synopsis of what's going on before I dive in.
Okay. So, real quick recap. So T.I. and Tiny have been accused. I want to say it's up to 30 women now. They have been accused by up to 30 women, accusations of sexual misconduct, abuse, kidnapping, drugging, you name it, almost. They're being accused of it, and it doesn't look good from an optics standpoint. It does not look good. So you have some women saying that it started off consensual, and then when they wanted to leave, they couldn't leave, and it just the stories are just getting worse and worse. So the accusations, like I said, are rape, I guess, in so many words, sexual misconduct, kidnapping, drugging, and abuse. One woman said she was hit with the gun as well. So yeah, it's really messy.
Okay, so well, let me start off by saying that I am a woman first. Now, does that mean that sexual assault and sexual abuse only happens to women? No, we know it does happen to men. Well, let me rephrase. I'm a human first. Because if we're going to say it happens to men too, I'm a human first. So it's one of those things where it's not to be taken lightly. So when people, you know, no matter who they make these claims against, whether it be a celebrity or a regular person, we have to remember that celebrities are regular people too. So they're not exempt from being accused just like any person, regular person walking the street. So, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. This can, you know, you can be accused of that act. So it's one of those things where it shouldn't be taken lightly. However, we do know that throughout the course of history and throughout the course of society and social media and all these things and how all these things come into play, that people have been falsely accused. Now, the higher the number of, you know, accusations, you know, you don't want to think, well, damn, 30 people lying? Like, how could this be? Like, not saying if it was just two people accusing them, that wouldn't make the accusation any less real. But, you know, as numbers keep coming, you're like, well, damn, ain't no way all these people lying. However, it's just one of those things where you just, you know, you just sit back and you wonder, and this is not to question the validity of anything that they're saying, because if these are things that they actually went through, you know, that's serious. But it's almost like, well, you know, what, like, how in the world did these things happen? And, you know, you waited until this person said something, and now you're saying something. Like, you know, why weren't you the first person to say something to cause the catalyst of, you know, it's, you know, like I said, this, you know, nobody, please don't, like you say, bring the torches and come burn my house down, because I'm not blaming the victim. I'm not, you know, it's easy to say, why didn't you tell? Why didn't you come forward? It's easy to say why you didn't say something sooner. But then you can flip it and say, well, why did these people take it upon themselves to victimize other people? So, like I say, I haven't really, you know, certain things that I read and I hear, you know, I don't necessarily jump on them. Sometimes I wait and let things marinate. And then I thought, all right, well, let me go see what's going on. Let me go partake in what's going on. So I have not really even read much about this. I saw, like, the article where when the young lady, I can't think of her name right now, but when she first came out with the allegations, and I think Tiny said she was taking a break from social media after she came out. I feel like that's the first instance of it that I heard, but I haven't revisited or done any research since then. So when you sent me the link, I was like, okay, well, dang, now it's already after like 30 something. So I'm like, wow, okay, so clearly I have missed out on a lot. I have a lot to go back and read and digest, but, you know, I just, it's easy to say, oh, well, why didn't you tell? How did you let somebody force you to do these things? How did you let somebody force you to take drugs? And how did you, you know, it's easy to, you know, if you're sitting back and you're on the outside looking in saying, how did you allow this to happen? But I mean, we don't know what kind of, you know, we don't know what happened, you know, if these things happened, and I'm not saying that they didn't, I'm just playing devil's advocate. If these accusations are indeed true, we don't know because we were not in their house, we weren't in their room, or wherever these things took place at, we weren't there. But if indeed, you know, it is true, that's some sad shit. Now, I ain't gonna lie, that's crazy. But at the end of the day, you know, sexual assault and rape and, you know, being victimized is very real. So, you know, them being celebrities doesn't make it any easier or any better, or doesn't mean they get a free pass, or that, you know, this isn't any less serious because of who they are, because it's very serious. I'm just, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just sticky. It's just really sticky because you don't want to belittle the victims by asking why. But you also really, you know, just trying to understand how, you know, an able-bodied, free-willed adult would allow another adult, or in this case, two adults, you know, to have that kind of power over them. But like I said, we're not in their shoes. And of course, if they're saying, hey, drugs were involved, they were under the influence, if, you know, in some situations, so that could have, what's the word, impeded their judgment or their ability to, you know, say no or, you know, fight back or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, start going down a rabbit hole with that. You know, because once you get under the influence, or if you are in case drugs, you know, the whole thing about consent that comes into play, and, you know, did they have consent? Did they not have consent? So it's just so many ways we can tackle this. We definitely don't have, you know, that's a whole nother, I guess, part two episode of what you've already done, or part three or part four, because this could go on into many segues. But all in all, I mean, it's some crazy shit. But if I want to, can I add one more piece, you know, play devil's advocate, one more piece to this.
Do it.
You know, you got some people who make, when they have these, you know, quote-unquote threesomes or orgies or whatever activities they partake in with other people, they have them sign non-disclosure agreements. Mm-hmm. So when I initially, like I said, I don't know much of the ins and outs of this, but when I initially heard about it, you know, that thought did cross my mind. Well, you know, I would think that as a celebrity, you would have these regular people that you're inviting into your home or your bedroom or your hotel or whatever. I would assume you would have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. But then again, I mean, everybody's different. So, and like I said, this hasn't come up. So we don't know if this was even a factor, if they did have them sign these agreements. But it's looking like maybe they didn't, because, you know, the little bit that I have read, that hasn't come out yet. So maybe that will come out as this case goes on, you know, if there ever is a case, if they get tried or whatever, as this storyline develops, maybe that'll come out. But I did Google non-disclosure agreements, and one site that I found said that, you know, depending on how it's drawn up, there's an expiration date on those. So they can be valid for a period between 1 and 10 years. I guess you have to stipulate that in the non-disclosure agreement. So who is to say, you know, hypothetically, if they did have people sign them, that whatever they signed wasn't binding forever. It might have had an expiration date too. So who knows? I don't know. We have to see how this plays out. But either way, this is some crazy shit. And, you know, I just pray that, you know, if these people were really victimized, then yes, they deserve justice. However, if this is a, you know, for lack of a better word, publicity stunt, and they're just trying to extort money from them or whatever, then that's fucked up too. So I'm just, you know, I'll just be here just watching how this unfolds. Like I said, I have to do some more research and, you know, read some more articles and see what's really going on. Because, like I said, this is the second time I've even looked at this. But, yeah, this is crazy.
Let me ask you this. Nobody knows Janae better than Janae, I would assume, right?
I would hope so.
Right? Okay. Could you see yourself in this situation that is going on right now?
You mean like with them or in general?
Do you think maybe being starstruck played a part, or do you think there was a money exchange for services rendered? Do you see yourself in a situation like these women are in right now, or claiming that they're in? Because I don't want to say, like I said, these are accusations. Nothing has been proven yet. But could you see yourself in this situation realistically?
Realistically, no, because, I'm just thinking about all of the, like, actual factual celebrity encounters I have had, and I've never been up this close and personal to a celebrity for them to even say, hey, you want to partake in some activities with us? So I don't see this happening. And I don't see myself. Realistically, I don't think this would have ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious as, how, all of these women, what their prior interactions were with T.I. and Tiny before it became, let's make this a, sexual thing. And I always say that because I feel like, the one young lady, and I really can't think of her name right now, but I feel like she had some kind of interaction with them that was like, I'm trying to think of what the word is. Do you know the name of the young lady? I think her name is Sabrina. Is that her name?
Let me see. They did name one of the victims. They did name one of the victims. Let me see, what was her name?
I'm thinking about, so apparently there was,
I know, oh, one, go ahead. One of them last name is Blackburn, and they reference her.
Oh, that's the attorney.
That's the attorney. Okay. I know that they referenced that person a lot in this, who's representing some of the victims, so.
I found it. Sabrina Peterson. I found it. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay, go ahead.
I found it. So this is how I first heard about it. So apparently she went on IG and, was ranting and raving that he put a gun to her head and she did not call the police. So Connie's response was, and this is on CNN, I just found it on CNN, her response was, hold up, so you want your abuser to train your son? He was just uncle 2 years ago, Tiny wrote with the caption. So I think that was before Tiny took her hiatus from social media. She responded to what the young lady said, and then she, took her, a brief hiatus or whatever. So just reading that, you want an abuser to train your sons. He was just uncle 2 years ago. So like I said, it just, whatever interaction they had prior to this, was some kind of, if he was training them, I don't know what was he training them for. I don't know. Maybe it was basketball, football, or, mentoring, like to rap. I don't know. Either way, there was some kind of, ties to these people because she said he was just uncle 2 years ago. So I guess if her son was referring to him as uncle, there had been some kind of relationship, some kind of, you know, dynamic there where, I don't want to say familial, but, you know, if your son's referring to the man as uncle and he's training them in some kind of capacity, then there's some kind of dynamic there that, you know, mentoring dynamic or something. He's mentoring them in some way. So there's a relationship that was established, some kind of bond. And then, you know, now you're alleging that, you know, he put a gun to your head. So it's one of those things where, okay, if we take this situation, they had some kind of connection prior to all of that. So
well, I know that one of the victims was a assistant to him as well. So, you know, that is one avenue. You know, you start off as an assistant, you end up in the bedroom in handcuffs, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm just going to sit back and just see how this unfolds. You know, I'm interested, like you said, if one was an assistant, this lady, you know, Sabrina Peterson, she had some kind of, he was training her son. So I guess in some way he was, you know, mentoring them in some kind of capacity. So, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, as details come to light, you know, what interactions these women had with them prior to the, you know, sexual aspect of it, you know. So, you know, I'm just, you know, curious, you know, how did they even end up in, you know, because it's not every day that you end up in the midst of a celebrity. So, you know, not no regular people. If you're not going to a concert or, you know, I don't know, a book signing or, you know, a meet and greet, like, you know, we as regular people don't get to interact with celebrities on a daily basis unless we're an assistant. Or an assistant to the assistant, or, you know, working for them. So, you know, I'm just eager to see how each of these women were in contact with them and interaction with them. And then, okay, what made it go from, like you say, oh, I'm your assistant, to, oh, come on, let's go party with us, or, you know, let's just go do it. Like, I'm just eager to see that. You know, just to get, you know, understanding of, you know, what's, you know, how did it play out? How did we even go from that, you know, to this? So, no, I don't think I would end up in that situation because, I mean, the celebrities ain't beating down my door asking me to party with them. So, you know, even if I might have been working for somebody, you know, it's just one of those things where how does it go from what switch goes off to turn it from professional to, you know, mixing business with pleasure? I guess, you know, I'm just here to see how it unfolds and just to hear all the details. I mean, because hell, now it's on Front Street.
Yes, it
so
is.
So why not indulge? Why not indulge? I mean, you know, if for the sake of just hoping they get justice, or just to see, you know, how it all plays out. I mean, but hell, it's already there for us to see, so why not read about it and indulge in what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
they already made it public information.
Yeah, this thing is getting wilder and wilder. I'm curious to see what the next chapter of this thing is gonna be over the weekend. But, you know, hey, we'll see what happens. But man, that was it's a good show, man. We covered a lot of different things and whatnot. And you are ready for the weekend, so hey, it's all good. I'm ready for the weekend as well. So, man, I appreciate you coming on and, you know, putting your two cents in the pot, if you will. And you know, you got anything you wanna shout out or anything before we get out of here?
Just like last time, you know, just shout out to everybody, who we just trying to make it, you know, whether you all masked up or whether you, you know, willy-nilly free with no mask. Hey, it's your prerogative, but just shout out to everybody who is just taking it day by day, trying to get some sense of normalcy amidst this pandemic. Just, you know, just we just got to keep pushing and hopefully, you know, we'll come out on the other side and this will be over. Even if we still got a mask up for the next 2 years, you know, we just got to get through it. So y'all keep pushing and just keep hanging in there.
Yes, yes, indeed. This has been Point of Perspective. Follow on all the social media platforms. And just like always, we are out.